California State versus Sony.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Maureen Sear. I represent Generous Sony. And I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. In this case, Mr. Sony's constitutional right to a unanimous jury verdict was violated when the jury was instructed on an alternative means of committing residential burglary that was not supported by substantial evidence. Therefore, the conviction must be reversed. The residential burglary statute provides that a person is guilty of residential burglary if, with intent to commit a crime against a person or property therein, the person enters or remains unlawfully in a dwelling other than a vehicle. In State v. Trazenreiter, this court held that that intent to commit a crime against a person or a property therein are alternative means of committing the crime, that it is therefore subject to the alternative means doctrine. In that case, Trazenreiter was charged simply under a single means, intent to commit a crime against a person, but the jury was instructed on both means, intent to commit a crime against a person or property. This court reversed applying the alternative means doctrine. Now, the Washington Supreme Court has issued some decisions recently trying to clarify how a court determines whether or not a statute creates alternative means, and this is a determination that must be made crime by crime. It's a sort of an individualized determination, an attempt to discern what the legislature intended by the statute. Decisions like State v. Owen, State v. Peterson, the Supreme Court has said that we look at how varied are the acts described by the means. And here, even though the two alternative means are described as intent, the language of the statute is intent to commit a crime against a person or a property, the state would necessarily prove these means by looking at the defendant's acts, and the acts that would be used to prove the means are distinct acts. Intent to commit a crime against a person is very distinct from intent to commit a crime against property. And because in this case, the jury was instructed on both means, but the state presented substantial evidence only to prove one of the means, intent to commit a crime against property inside the residence, and therefore the conviction must be reversed. This is a constitutional error. The state bears the burden to prove it's harmless beyond a reasonable doubt. If it's possible that the jury based its verdict on the means that is not supported by substantial evidence, and substantial evidence meaning evidence sufficient to prove the fact beyond a reasonable doubt, if the state cannot prove that the jury did not rely on that means, then the error is not harmless and the conviction must be reversed. And that's the case in this case, where there was some evidence presented that Mr. Sony perhaps had an intent to commit a crime against a person. He entered the bedroom where a woman was sleeping. He spoke to her. He asked to hold her hand. The jury could perhaps find that he had an intent to commit a crime against a person, assault, rape, something like that. However, that proof does not rise to proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Instead, there was also evidence that he had an intent to commit a crime against property. He took some coins and some cash from a wallet. Again, because the jury was instructed on both alternative means, substantial evidence only supported one of the means, the conviction must be reversed.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Deborah Dwyer representing the State of Washington. I don't have an awful lot to add to what I said in my brief, but I'd like to take a moment or two to emphasize a couple of important points. The focus of the alternative means analysis has always been on the underlying act that constitutes the commission of the crime. When more than one act can constitute the commission of the crime, the court has typically found that those are alternative means of committing the crime. By contrast, differing subjective intents have not been found to be alternative means of committing the crime. And I think there's two cases the court should look at in resolving this issue. The first is this court's 2013 decision in State versus Hoon. The crime at issue there was possession with intent to manufacture or deliver a controlled substance. This court found that the underlying act was the possession of the controlled substance and that the subjective intent to either deliver or manufacture did not create alternative means. The other central case, I think, is the Supreme Court's 1985 decision in State versus Bergeron. The court there held that the specific crime that a defendant intends to commit when committing burglary is not an element of the crime of burglary. Now, Bergeron was not an alternative means case, but I think what we can take from it is the principle that the subjective intent of the intruder is not the focus of the crime of burglary. I think I distinguished Trezenreiter sufficiently in my brief. Trezenreiter wasn't an alternative means case. It made no holding at all about alternative means. It simply said there was a notice problem with the information when the information specifically said the defendant was charged with intent to commit a crime against a person, and the to convict instruction included a crime against a person or a crime against property. That may well constitute a due process notice issue, but the court certainly made no holding at all on the issue of alternative means. I would ask this court to affirm the conviction and hold that the subjective intent to commit a crime against person or to commit a crime against property while committing burglary are not alternative means of committing that crime, unless the court has any questions.
Thank you, counsel.
I'll close with that. Thank you.
You can have another minute if you'd like, if you think you need it. But based on your first argument, I was assuming three would be enough.
Oh, okay.
Do you agree with the characterization of Trezenreiter?
No, not at all. I mean, the court applied the alternative means doctrine there. It may not have been as explicit as it could have been. The court relied on Severns, Bray, Dugan. These are all alternative means cases, applying the general doctrine that when the state alleges a particular means in the information, it may not instruct the jury on a different means. And that's the error that occurred in Trezenreiter. And, of course, that holding depends on the principle that the intent to commit a crime against a person or property inside the building are alternative means. Regarding the Hoyne case, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce that. There, the crime was delivery, manufacture, or intent, possession with intent to deliver or manufacture. This court made a broad statement in that case that intent cannot be a basis of finding alternative means. That's dicta. It's not really necessary to the holding in that case. Again, we look at each crime individually, case by case. The statute in that case can be read as setting forth three alternative means, delivery, manufacture, or possession with intent to deliver or manufacture. That's kind of means within a means there. And if this court were to conclude that Hoyne does stand for the proposition that intent cannot be that an intent element cannot be the basis of an alternative means, then that would be inconsistent with Trezenreiter, and there's a conflict there. And in regard to Bergeron, the court there said the specific crime intended to be committed inside the building is not an element, but obviously Under the language, the plain language of the statute, the state must prove an intent to commit either a crime against a person or a crime against property. There are other kinds of crimes. So if a person unlawfully entered a building with an intent to commit a crime that was not a crime against a person or property, then that would not be a burglary. So there's some broad language in Bergeron that the state need not prove the crime intended to be committed inside the building, but that's not strictly accurate. The state must prove it's either a crime against person or a crime against property. And again, in Trazenreiter, the court held that the intent to commit a crime against person or against property are alternative means, subject to the alternative means doctrine. Again, the conviction must be reversed. Thank you.
Court will be in recess.
All right.